I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
It is amazing how certain songs then become a trigger for you wherever you are. Like if I hear Andy Grammer in the grocery store, I think, oh, it's time for the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. I heard this song at Lambeau and I'm looking around. Where's Brian Bulaga? This is walk-up music. He's right here. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're great. Hey, Micah Parsons is a Packer. What, no, no, not yet. Are you, having been born and bred as an NFL player in the Ted Thompson era, and having been on the team when, poof, Julius Peppers was suddenly on the team, are you getting your hopes up, or are you stay calm, keep calm, and carry on, not expecting anything to come of this?
I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up. I'll put it that way. You know, I read something yesterday. I guess there's like what a Reddit rumor. Is that what
yeah,
I saw?
And then Ricky fella.
A Reddit third hand rumor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reddit third hand. Yeah. I feel like that's an important detail.
Yeah. So like that normally. Listen, like, I'm not discrediting when Reddit, hey, because we all saw it happen at GameStop, right? Like, Reddit is normal. Some things can be powerful with Reddit, right? So, like, I'm not, like, discrediting anything with Reddit, right? Like,
great
sometimes
reference.
Big things.
Diamond hands. Hold on to those Micah Parsons rumors,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, like sometimes big things happen with Reddit. But when it comes to, like, sports rumors and trades and contracts, I haven't seen too many that have come to fruition as of yet. But knowing the Green Bay Packers and how they operate, I'm not sure this one like it is going to come to fruition, because I don't know if you guys have discussed this yet. Maybe you have. I'm not sure what the package is going to be to give that up plus the 45 or whatever it may be in salary. I know, Gabe, I got on right before you guys were discussing it. I know the 45 in year in principle is just the number the agent would report, and what it actually is what it is, but it's the guaranteed dollar, right, that you're giving up, mm-hmm, is going to be immense, right? That'll be an immense number that they will have to commit, and what they'll give up in picks plus that number, it's just Green Bay just has never done that, right? Like that's completely out of character. And will they do that? And will Dallas, will Jerry do that? And that's, you know, those two things together is what I don't know. And it hasn't happened in Green Bay. I mean, I guess you could say
happened anywhere, Blue. Like it hasn't happened anywhere because a guy like this doesn't become available. Like typically,
no.
A guy like this, you don't have two sides butting heads where you have one side and Jerry Jones. Oh, I've got 3 years to figure this out. Now I just saw there's a grievance that Micah has filed because for his fifth year option, the Cowboys said he's a defensive end. He thinks he's a linebacker. There's about a $3 million difference for what his salary would be for that this year. So I mean, these two sides are constantly butting heads because typically a player of Micah's, when he's 26 years old, a guy like this, he gets locked up and nobody even dreams of potentially trading for him.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the problem with Jerry. Like Jerry Jones normally does this, right? Like we've seen it over the last few years with like his big time players, right? Like you've seen it with CeeDee Lamb last year. And then Dak the year prior. And it was Zach Martin the year prior before that. Like, you know, you're normally used to seeing him push these things towards the end of camp and then it's done. This one's different, right? This one's been different kind of from the start of camp. Like, obviously, Parsons is not happy, really unhappy, right? And then it comes out with he's trying to negotiate with the player and telling the agent to, you know what, off, which is just right away the NFLPA, right when that comes out, the NFLPA should be jumping right in,
mm-hmm,
and, like, right away, grievances should be filed immediately. And that's what, and Jason, this circles right back around to our PA is bad. And when you have a bad PA, this is what happens, right? Like, when you have no leadership in your PA, this is what happens. And, you know, I feel bad for Parsons because, yeah, you could, like, you could say what you want about D. Smith. This wouldn't have happened with D. Smith. I'm just saying it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So, like, this is just this is a product of the PA, but also, I mean, Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. But to flip this back around to the Packers, if this gets done, right, if it gets done, like, enormous, like, I wouldn't believe it until, like, I see him there next to Goody and LaFleur at 1265, actually,
yep.
You know, like, holding up his little jersey, and you know, I wouldn't believe it. But it would change the outlook of this team tremendously. And it's hard for me to say that about one player on a team, right? I mean, there's 11 guys on the field at a time, and I get that, right? Like, one guy can't, but like, what one guy can do on a defensive side of the ball is pretty immense. Like, and from that pass rushing position, we talked about it when there was the Myles Garrett rumors and things like that. It's pretty immense what one guy can do. And this guy's special. And he's young. And he can do multiple things. He can play the linebacker position, so to speak, right? Stand up. And he obviously can put his hand in the dirt. Like, he can do a bunch of different things. And Halfley's super creative. So this would be an unbelievable get if it does come to fruition.
As a guy whose job it was to protect Aaron Rodgers from guys like Micah Parsons, put yourself in Goody's seat here. You've got what you believe to be a really good team. Again, going to be the youngest team in the league, right? 230-somethings. One's the kicker, the other's the long snapper. Kenny Clark will celebrate his 30th birthday before the end of the season. So will Elgton Jenkins. And then neither of them will be on the team next year, probably. You know that the new team president has said, we're not going to extend Goody and LaFleur. We're going to play it out for this year. I don't believe in lame ducks, so they're going to have to either give him a one-year bump after this season if he doesn't feel good enough about giving him a multi-year deal, or if things go to hell, start over. Are you doing this? Like, whatever the price tag is, if it's Rashawn Gary, a couple of first-round picks, and maybe another pick, are you doing this? Are you willing to say, I'm pushing all my chips into the middle of the table against Teddy KGB and hoping that he has to say back to me, pay that man his money?
You know, the thing about risking everything, right? So, like, risking everything, and when I say risking everything, like, you're talking about draft capital and then players too, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, now you're saying, now we're talking, like, players as well and capital. That makes it a little bit of a different dynamic, but I'm sure Dallas would ask for something like that in return, I would guess. I mean, I would think so. If I'm Goody, I probably would think about that very hard and consider it at a very high level.
You just can't simply, do it. You sound like me. I would think about that very hard and consider it at a high level. Yes or no,
yeah,
Bulaga?
Like, well, like, err on the side of yes. Err on the side of yes.
I've had such bad influence on
you.
You
can't even say yes or no.
What have I done to you, man? This is all my fault.
Okay.
I've turned you into a hedger.
Okay, so, like, this is the thing. Like, this is the only reason why I say this, right? Because, like, here's the thing, right? So if you say it is Rashawn Gary, right? Like, so say it's multiple picks and Rashawn Gary for, and what is it, like, two ones?
Sure.
Two ones and something else in Rashawn. Yeah. Okay. So you do that and you send them there and you get Parsons, right? And say something happens to Micah, right? Say
right.
he is then I guess you're right back in the same position you would be if something happens to Rashawn, right? Like, so, like, I just play this out in my mind. Like, I don't know. Like, is all that, giving up all that, potentially worth it? And obviously, then you have Parsons then for the future, right? Like, I mean, that's obviously really worth it, because are you going to find a Micah Parsons in the first round the next year or the next year? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very rare to find that player. And that's always what, at least when I look at giving up first round picks, I always go, are you going to find a player like that in the first round? Right? Like, when you give up ones and like, say you trade for Myles Garrett, or you trade for, say, Micah Parsons, it's like, are you going to find that guy in the first round?
At the bottom. Like, at the bottom of the first round, right? Because you expect to win. So at 27, 28, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Chances are no. You are not going to find him there. So, like, might as well just give that pick up to get that player. And to me, that's why I would do it. And, like, that's...
I mean, you're hedging... Okay, so... Like, with this package that Jason and you guys just proposed, like, I'm saying in a heartbeat, like, at what point, I mean, I guess you're uncomfortable with this, like, you could say three first-round picks, and I'm like, yeah, I'm still in. Because I think that's how special Micah Parsons is. I understand where you're coming from, Blue, in terms of the injury thing, but isn't that true for any team with any injury? I mean, the depth of that kind of talent across the league isn't exactly there. So if you have one of those guys in your locker room... Yeah, injuries are part of the game. They happen. They're unfortunate when they do, but I guess I don't think about, well, what if this guy gets hurt? What if Jordan Love gets hurt? They're not going to win a... I mean, Malik Willis was great. They're not winning a Super Bowl with Malik Willis.
No, okay. So, like, I get that, right? So, while I'm on board with that, you know, you give up three ones. Unfortunately, there are going to be, down the line, other positions of need on this team that need addressed, right? Like, and that's the thing. Like, and I'm not saying all first round picks hit, right? Like, I'm certainly not saying that. And Goody's been pretty good with, like, second, third, and fourth round picks, actually. Like, that's kind of been his sweet spot, to be honest with you.
Well, he's maybe not really third round picks, other than Tucker Kraft. But yes,
second and
your
fourth.
Point as well. Your point is well taken.
Yeah, but like, that's kind of where he's been really good at. But that's the thing. Like, it's seeing down the line that, I mean, we're going to see that. Obviously, the receiver room got addressed, and obviously guys are coming up on deals there. The line is losing guys this year, and we're going to see how that gets works itself out, you know, coming up here soon. You know, the DB room, we're going to see how that shakes itself out this year. And what are you going to have to do to that room, depending on how it plays, it's, you know, how that looks? There's just certain things that when you give up that many picks, how do you restock the room? Because, like, as we all know, like, we can't continue all the time going to free agency and just splashing cash, because, like, that's obviously not Green Bay's, like, motto. We all know that. Like, that's not how they do things. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how we, as a team and as a fan base, right? Like, sure, we want to be able to go get guys. Like, we want to be able to bring in good players. That's a good thing. But we're not it's never been a franchise that just goes out and constantly just buys players. This is a draft and develop type organization, and that's what they've hung their hat on forever. And that's why they've always been able to potentially do this type of Micah Parsons deal, because they're financially very stable and they're able to do these things. But again, like, that's... If that is, like, the deal on the table, right? That's
which we don't even know if there,
like,
is the deal on the table. We'll make sure we say that. We don't even know if that's there.
No, I have no idea. And, like, it's with Jerry saying that, like, I got him for 3 years to Stephen A. Smith or whatever he said to him on that interview, which was really weird. And as he grabs his hand, like, I thought that was very weird. I don't know what that guy's thinking. I have no idea what Jerry Jones is thinking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he's thinking. I have no idea the play. Like, and the thing is, like, is Micah Parsons, like, week one is pretty close. Like, they go to Philly here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. There's no way that guy puts on a helmet and goes out there. Like, there's no way. So, like, what is the strategy here? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what's about to happen? Like, that's what makes this all so fun. It's fun, but for Cowboys fans, like, daunting, I think.
Let's leave Fantasyland, and when we come back with Brian, let's talk about the cuts. Because while this has been fun, and I will be the first to admit that I have been fully all in on the fun this morning after my tweets begging me to break the news that wasn't happening, I would like to talk about the roster, because yesterday was the cutdown day, and a lot of things happened. Not a lot of sexy things, not a lot of surprising things, but a lot of things worth talking about with Brian Bulaga. We'll talk about that coming up. After I talk about Lakeland Supply, one of our great new partners, they've been on board for a couple months now, and I love telling you about them because they are all about their core values. And core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
You're going to get to hear this song a third time because out of the kindness of his dumb old heart, Brian Bulaga has agreed to take one question from each of us, take our two-minute break at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, which has already passed, and then come back for a little more of Wilde and Neitzel, previously known as Wilde and Tausch. All right, my question for you, Brian, about the cuts is this, and then Gabe will ask one, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll pepper you with more questions. I was under the impression that Rich Bisaccia not only was the special teams coordinator and not only was the assistant head coach, I also thought he had an uncredited role as the assistant GM. Right? Because they seemed to really listen to him. They didn't keep Corey Ballantyne. They didn't keep Isaiah Simmons. They didn't keep Christian Welch. They kept Bo Melton. He likes Bo. But it strikes me that maybe either the interest in veteran players who know how to play special teams, or just we're not going to listen to Rich anymore. It's hard not to think that after I saw the roster come out. I understand that I am biased toward another one of my favorite Iowa alums, Christian Welch, who I don't know what this guy's got to do to make this roster after the last 2 years. What do you make of the way this roster shook out from a veteran and a special teams perspective?
Yeah, I mean, from a special teams perspective, it's going to be interesting to see who lines up where, right? I mean, you what they've done essentially is like the core guys, the guys that you would expect to be, besides obviously Melton, right? I mean, he is like the number one special teamer, which I mean that's not a negative connotation. That is, I mean, that's an earned role. Like, he is the guy. But the other core special teamers, they're gone, right? Like, the guys that you'd expect to be like the guys that you rely on, you lean on, that are on every team, they're gone. So I'm not too sure what guys are going to be stepping up now and filling those roles. And so now you essentially, and I get there's 53 guys, right? I mean, it's a full roster, but when you do those types of things, you expect to now dip into guys that are potential starter type players to fill those roles. You have to start looking at guys that may be playing and or that are maybe not full-time starters, but that get significant play time that are going to fill those types of roles. And there's always risk with that, right? There's always some, you know, coaches get a little, do we want him to run down on kickoff, or do we want him to cover punts, or, you know, like there's always a little bit of that. But when you relieve guys that are and relieve guys of duty that do those things, that's your option, right? That's what you have to do. And it's unfortunate because I think like guys like Welch and guys that are really good at those things, they hold value, right? They're core type players on the teams, and they take their job seriously. They take a lot of pride in that work. And sometimes, and this is, I mean, I'm not trying to generalize it. When you start pulling guys that are just starters and all they do is offense, defense, and that's all, like, there's not as much pride in that work when you put them on teams, right? They don't care as much. If they don't have a solid rep on teams, they're like, ah, whatever. I gotta go on defense or offense. So, like, whatever. It is what it is, right? And it gets a little sloppy, right? And that drives special teams coaches nuts. Like, it really does. So that's the only thing that I kind of look at from a negative side of that happening, unfortunately. But we'll see how that pans out.
How concerned are you about the depth of the offensive line?
I'm concerned, even with the addition, right? Even with the trade they made and things like that. So before they made the trade, I was like, obviously, Jason, you and I had talked about it. I've talked about it with Homer. Very concerned, right? Like, and very concerned because Banks wasn't practicing, right? So, like, you look at it, Banks not practicing, Jordan Morgan goes in at left guard. Who's the sixth man? It's obviously Belton, right? And Belton's only been playing right tackle. I mean, that's all he's been doing. He's playing right tackle. Yeah. He's had his ups and downs, as we've seen throughout camp. But when your sixth man only plays one position, that's a little bit of a problem. So say something else happens to another player in that starting five. Well, now you're changing everything up and mixing bodies everywhere, which is an issue. Okay, so now we make the trade, bring in a guy that is more versatile, right? He's a little bit more of a jack of all trades. He can go play guard, he can play tackle, an experienced player, which is good, right? And we're assuming that Banks is going to be healthy. At least I'm assuming that.
That's going to be one of my first questions today. We got Goody at 2, we got LaFleur at 225, and I think that's, okay. We'll see at practice at 315 if he's out there, but the question has to be asked, you know, how much of a concern is Banks' back? Because this is clearly not just soft beds in Indy that is at work.
No. No. So, like, if he has a back issue, right, that is going to be a concern, right? So, say he misses time and it's Jordan Morgan that's going at left guard for a significant amount of time. And the sixth man is, I keep forgetting his name because we just brought him in. I have to.
His name is Kennard, but I don't blame you for forgetting his name. Yeah, it's great. He's related to Dolly Parton, and he's got 3 Super Bowl championship rings. He's also started 1 game in the NFL. Like, this is not like you brought in, you know, one of those savvy veteran guys who has played all the different spots and started 60 games as a journeyman. This is a guy that has barely played.
Yeah. So you bring him in as the sixth guy now, but then what's behind that is still my question, right? Like, you normally, and like, listen, I get that having depth is a hard thing on the offensive line in the NFL, because if it was that easy, every team would be 8 deep, right? Every team would be that way. And it's difficult. But when you have 6 guys max, it's tough sledding, man. Like, it really is, and you're not totally sure what position guys can go to, right? Like, and if a guy gets hurt, and then you got to mix and match guys, and guys have to move spots to fill in spots, and you're changing, you know, kind of the way, you know, the lineup looks, it makes things more difficult, right? Like, it really does. And then you're changing pieces within the game. If something happens, like, it makes things more complicated. And that's why I'm a little concerned about it, right? And if Belton is able to come along throughout the season, right, if he's able to develop it throughout practice and get more comfortable and get better, which we won't be able to see that, right? We won't know that. Jason won't even be able to know that, right? I mean, he'll be at practice, but, like, that's not something we'll be able to see, and we won't be able to know that. But if he's able to develop and get better, then I'll feel a lot better about it as the season, you know, continues on and we get to the middle part and we got seven guys that we feel pretty good about, right? Seven or eight, because I'm assuming then Banks is back and Jordan, you know, then we got eight guys that, like, okay, I feel good about that. But, like, I'm sitting on the thought that we got six guys, and that is not a great feeling. It just isn't a great feeling.
More with Brian Bulaga coming up, because he's foolish enough when I ask him to do me a favor to do it. I want to remind you, American Family Insurance has been with Wilde and Tausch from the beginning, and they've been rolling with the Brewers during all their success this summer. Your dream game day starts at the parking lot patio, located near the clock tower entrance outside American Family Field. Parking lot patio is your go-to pregame hangout. Play yard games, grab free giveaways. It's free, it's fun, and it's open to fans of all ages. So stop by before the next home game. Parking lot patio, presented by American Family Insurance. More with Brian Bulaga in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tausch begins now. And hey, Brian Bulaga is still here. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate you. Again, I wasn't surprised by much of anything. I was disappointed for Christian Welch. I don't get that. And again, it's not my job to root for people, but I feel like I can both like the guy and think that there should have been a spot on the roster for the guy. I don't think my feelings are influencing that, but even then, I'm not overly surprised by that. Did anything that happened yesterday come as even a mild surprise to you? Like, I'm sorry, Isaiah Simmons did not turn out to be who I thought he was going to be, so I was not surprised by that at all. Did anything jump out at you?
Not really, right? Like, I mean, I think you look at it from top to bottom, and Simmons had every opportunity, right? They gave him a ton of opportunities to, like, make the team, right? Like, I mean, they gave him every shot, right? Gave him play time in all the preseason games. He started right against the Jets game, in the Jets game. Like, he was linebacker one out there. So he had all the ops. Unfortunately, it just really, I mean, it didn't pan out, and that's the way things go. Hardman, you know, when that signing happened, I think when we were talking about that, Jason, we were talking, when that happened, that was in the what, summer? When they did that signing, or was that in the spring?
It was in the spring, but they, still, it was, yep.
Yeah, I remember they did that signing. I was on with you and Tausch, and we talked about it. And we said at that point in time, like, you know, it's a 50-50 if that signing is going to stick or not, right? Like, we'll see how it goes through camp. And, you know, he had to do something. Like, he had to be really, really, really good through camp with that wide receiver room to make the team. And it, you know, he might have had a solid camp, but you have to have a really good camp with that wide receiver room. And then they draft two wide receivers on top of it. It's just really difficult then to break through on that. So I just, you know, from an overall standpoint, no, there's nothing really that shocked me. Do you know who they brought back on P-Squad yet? Has that list been announced yet? Not yet.
We have 44 minutes until the waiver wire has closed. Now, I saw a few people float the possibility of Mecole Hardman if he doesn't have any other options, because he's a vested veteran, so he's not subject to waivers, of him coming back on the practice squad, and then they can elevate him, you know, for some games and what have you. But we won't know for another 45 minutes who's been claimed and who hasn't. Again, I'm not sure there are many guys that they released yesterday that they have to worry about not being available to them, to the practice squad. But it'll be interesting, because I still think that there are some holes to fill. The biggest question I have is whether or not they're going to claim anyone. And someone like Donovan Jennings, who made the roster, is then going to not be on the roster, right? Because we've seen that happen a couple times where you make the initial 53 and guys are very excited, and then they claim someone, and someone's got to go. And that's got to be the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's tough, right? I mean, like, you know, you're in a position group and, you know, 53 get made, and, you know, you normally, after the 53 is done, right, normally the roster set, you normally have a meeting with your position group, right? And you see all the guys and, you know, your buddies, and then, you know, next day someone's gone because someone got claimed. You're like, what happened? And, well, that's normal. It's a tough deal, man. Like, someone gets released because, you know, they thought someone on waivers was a better fit. It's a tough deal, but listen, man, like, that's the way things go in the NFL, right? And whether or not it's the right move, you know, that remains to be seen. But it's, you look at the roster, right? Like, you look at what they have. To me right now, the position that, I mean, we talked about O-line, which I still think, if they're the linemen floating around on waivers that you think could add depth, I would do it. That's just me, though, right? Like, that's my personal opinion. I mean, they may not agree with me at 1265. That's okay. I'm fine with that. But if there's a DB floating around, like, if there's someone you like at corner or as we call it now, I guess, because those guys back there, the way they are, they're playing all different positions in the secondary. If there's someone you like, I would potentially add back there, right? Just to feel secure about what you have back there, I would just add, because, like, I feel like that group, you just never know, right? Like, I feel like that's kind of like that group is like offensive linemen. If you have, like, you can never have too many good or solid guys, right? That's how you feel about DBs and linemen. Like, if you could have solid players, just keep bringing them in, because, like, you never know when they're going to be needed and used. And I just feel like if you are that secondary right now, I mean, yeah, you have your solid guys that you feel really good about, right? I mean, I don't think I have to name the guys, but you just feel like if there's an injury that happens for longer than a couple weeks, you feel like the cupboard could be a little bare. Right, like, you feel like there could be some trouble, and that's not a good feeling to have. I see it on every commercial break, the schedule that you look at, like, because that group of receivers that this team's to face is Murderer's Row. I mean, let's just be real about it. That's a Murderer's Row of receivers, and that, I mean, it is what it is, man. But, like, you look up and down that schedule, and the receiving groups that you see, like, you could talk about the worst team. Right, they got good receivers. Like, it's tough. It's tough.
So, if you're uncomfortable with the depth at corner, and now they've also released Mecole Hardman, I would assume that means Keyshawn Nixon at least is going to be starting back there with some of the other injuries at returning kicks. How comfortable are you with your top cornerback now returning kicks?
I don't love that. Nate Hobbs coming back from a knee injury on top of that, Gabe.
Yep.
Worth noting.
So is he coming? So is Hobbs like okay to come back? Is he like actually coming back or?
They said the playing in the opener was the target when he had the surgery. I don't know if you've had a meniscus in your history. They said it was a small tear that they trimmed out. But again, I don't know. Like, you could say that. You could say that's the goal. Let's see if he's do I expect him to be practicing today when we're out there at 3:15? No, I do not. Could he be practicing next week on Monday when they come back and practice? Maybe. But who knows?
Yeah, no, I had a meniscus. I was an idiot. I popped mine in 2015. You probably remember I got carted off before Seattle in the practice. I got it cut out, and then I played it 2 weeks later against the Chargers at home right before the bye week. I was an idiot, but I did it. But
the Chargers apparently liked what they saw.
Well, dude, that was 2015. I didn't sign for him. That was a while down the line before. I'm shocked they liked what they saw. When we played them out in 2019, I played awful. Dave and I got chewed up by Bosa and Ingram. But regardless, back to the question about.
I was an idiot.
Returner.
Yes.
Yeah. Back to me being an idiot and back to the return game. No, I don't like that. To be honest with you, that's not something that like I think is a great idea, right? Like when your starting corner is returning kicks and things like that, and all it takes, man, and I'm not trying to put bad juju out there because I just don't like doing that. Like that's really bad. But it just takes one little thing, and like your starting guy could be down, right? And like that is just it's just not worth it. It just really isn't. Because like let's be real, how many kicks are being returned nowadays? So they've tweaked with it.
Yeah, they tweaked the rule again, Blue, so they're trying to get more returns this year out of the kickoff game. I mean, I guess I'm less worried about punt. I'm assuming that's going to be Jaden Reed. Jason, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's more or less somebody you're comfortable with being able to go out there, fair catch it, and catch the football. Kickoff, they're trying to encourage more and more returns.
That's only because you're always pointing out how few snaps he plays, Gabe. That's why you're comfortable with him. By the way, with a foot injury, right? He's coming off of an injury of his own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little worried about that too, just because again, you want someone you can trust who's going to at least catch the punt. You know, where you muff a punt, that can be a huge turnover, a huge game flipping. Mm-hmm. So I just want somebody that can throw their hand up and catch it. And I don't know outside of Jaden Reed who they trust doing that right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm. That's the thing. Like when you and this goes back to the special teams talk, right? Like this goes back to what I was saying. Like when you get rid of core special teams players and guys that's like what they do, it creates a little bit of a dilemma. Like that's what it does. Like now you're pulling starters to do these jobs and it puts them at risk of doing their main job, right? Like and that's a problem. Like and nobody wants to lose a starting corner because the one time he got to return a kick in the game, he took it down the sideline and he didn't see some dude flying from the other side and he gets whacked and he didn't see the guy and he gets a concussion or something and he's out. And, you know, like nobody wants to see that. Like, and that's just, you know, I guess that's just me talking. Like, that would be me as a player on that side. And, like, I'd be like, what is he doing out there? That would be like, you know, that would be my thought. Like, why is Nixon returning? He's our starting corner and we're playing Justin Jefferson. Like, what are we doing? Like, that would be my thought. But again, that's former me. I guess I should look at this a little more like analyzing it. But like that
but no.
I'm not. Like I'm just looking at it like I would be if I was part of that team. Because, like, I want the guys on the field that are going to, like, be ready to go in their best positions and healthy and ready to go. Like, and I'm not minimizing special teams. I think it's important. It's a huge role in the game. It could impact the game. But, like, when we're talking returning, and the NFL has done their best to not have guys do that and, like, take that out of the game and minimize that impact. So putting one of our impact players from a defensive standpoint that is a, you know, an important position to play that role that maybe gets to return it once, maybe twice a game, it just I don't like it. You know what I mean? So, like, that mm-hmm. it makes me a little nervous that he's going to do that.
I'm so glad I've been such a positive influence on you. You were a positive influence on me when I was covering you. You were always there for me when I had questions. Now I've turned you into a helicopter analyst and someone who hedges their opinions. I've never felt better about what I've accomplished with you as a friend. Brian, thanks for sticking around some extra time. We really do appreciate it. Get the hell out of here, and I'll talk to you later in the week on the Home Run.
Who does Iowa play this weekend?
That's a good question. I'd have to check. Hmm. I mean, these first weeks are like, does it matter?
To some of us, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even know who's on your team.
Jesse, it matters to you because, like, the over-under win total for you is 4.5.
It's 5.5.
So, yeah, it matters
Thank
to you
very much. 5.5.
Sir. The point.
Okay, so
the point.
So, like, so you need every one of these right now. So, yes, it matters to you. I feel good about Iowa beating whoever they play this weekend.
We will check back in next week and see if those things have occurred. Brian, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Brian Bulaga, who has a running back and forth with Jesse. Even though Jesse went to Bradley, that doesn't have a football team. Jesse, you said 5.5 for the Badgers over-under for wins?
That is what it said at every sports book, including the Hard Rock, yes.
Oh, well, you know you're less than an hour away from the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Maybe you should go down, if you're so confident, put a little money where your mouth is.
Perhaps I should. I was just there on Saturday for the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day preseason special. And I get to do this a few times today, so here we go. Mark Tauscher here for Hard Rock Casino Rockford. The Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. Hard Rock Casino Rockford showcases a museum-worthy collection of more than 500 pieces of authentic music memorabilia, including items from artists like Prince, Cheap Trick, Eddie Vedder, the Blues Brothers, and newly engaged Taylor Swift. The Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue is a 2,300 square foot premium concert and event space. Features more than 1,000 feet of LED screens to enhance the experience for up to 2,000 guests. Bradshaw was there. Jesse and his parents went to go see Terry a few weeks ago. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
More with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.